I have been so surprised to find there are so many students at OSU, and you know, we welcome a lot of international students and students from China, India, from Middle East, different areas. But it was very surprised to hit me when I see over 70%, maybe, of the students coming to the Bible study actually are from China. I don't know why it just happened to be that. Maybe we have so many Chinese students, or maybe Chinese students' heart, I mean, it's God's timing. So I'm grateful I can be engaged in speaking here. I know you're here, and or you have burden for Chinese students. So thank you for coming. So might be too many for mine to bring, but we have the link of the handout online. If you can check your email, you can see the PDF version. And I will ask them maybe to put the PowerPoint online later, so you have the access to it. Yeah. First, I would like to let you know, like, there are how many Chinese students in the U.S. According to Open Doors 2015, there are about 1 million international students in the U.S. So that's a huge number. And before we go to the next slide, I want you to get how many percent of them are actually from China. Just, how many? 70. Lower than that. But still a lot. 60? That's 31%? Wow, you are good. Okay. That's exactly the number. 31% of the. It's huge. Okay. So Jesus talks about an importance of discipling, not only ask us to preach gospel, but also to make disciples. Because not every believer multiply, but so I will tell you about the urgency of discipling Chinese students. So I want you to guess again. Like, there's a Chinese Christian organization used to do investigation about how many percentage of the Chinese Christian students they became students they became Christian in the U.S. and they went back to China, but then they left the place. You're good. Oh, it's in the handout. I shouldn't leave a blank there. Okay, that's good. I'm so surprised. Yeah, but are you hit by the number? It's very high. It's like 3 out of 4 of them when they go back to China and they no longer want to follow Christ because of the environment is so different, the church is so different. And the peer pressures from the families, a lot of things going on in their lives. Yes. So we have urgency to disciple them when they are still in the U.S. because they have more access to it, they have, you know, resources, and maybe the church is also different too. Now I will give you the definition of young Chinese students. So from this picture, you can see a percentage of the international students studying in the U.S. actually are undergraduate and graduate students. So Chinese students, most of them, let's calculate the age. So if they're bachelor students, so they're 21. If they're master or PhD student, they're probably from 21 to 27. think most of them are born from 1998, and most of them post the 90s. Okay. How many of you have been in my workshop last year? I see several hands. Thank you. So last time I talked about how to preach the gospel to Chinese students according to their different generations. I talked about post-70s, post-80s, and post-90s. If you are interested, maybe you can post that PowerPoint online, and you can go review it. So I pulled some of those slides from the last part of the Chinese. They are more acceptable to new step according to comparing to post-70s and 80s. And their value sincere interpersonal relationship, and they're eager to have a role model, and they're highly independent and highly dependent. That's very funny. Like, they can travel by themselves, but they cannot clean their house. That's my definition. And they dislike autocratic, authoritative, and closed culture and social system. So that's very different from their parents, because their parents really grew up under the Communist Party, a very like the China is too closed, but now they're open to a lot of things, and they have internet. They can have all kinds of information. Yeah, I'm always taught by the students I'm leading, like all kinds of new words and a new, I'm kind of like old generation, according to them. I look young, thank God. But okay, next one. Okay, then there's some profile of post-90s in the US. I learned that from a Chinese pastor. So there's some Chinese there. A lot of them are second generation of wealthy family, and they're high-tech generation, and they grow in the informational age. And some of them, or I can say comparing to post-80s or 70s, more of them are from broken families, because their family are rich, but they workaholic, they spend a lot of time in business, but they don't take care of their children a lot. And a lot of them actually are brought up by their grandparents, not by parents. And they focus on entertainment. Like, they're more like this generation of American young kids. And they're post-molding them. Like, they are more relativism. Like, they don't like absolute truths. Like, I know some students, they got offended if you tell them Jesus is only the way, the truth, the life. Like, why Jesus is the only one? Like, is he supposed to be loving to everybody? You know, that's also when it's come to the topic of homosexuality. Even some new believers, they're like, what's wrong with it? Like, everybody can love and can be loved. You know, it's hard for them to understand some of the core values already accepted in our generation or in the Bible. Yes. They advocate in quality, oppose authority, and they embrace a non-mainstream popularity and individual differences. And their high rates of cohabitation and homosexuality among them now. Like, it's especially the post-90s in the US, because they're away from their family, they're free to do anything, they have money, you know, they're lonely. So a lot of them, when they start to date, they live together. And if some are worse, they have more partners. And they pursue fashions, pay more attention to the appearance and beauty, and their weak self-care, like I said. A lot of them don't know how to clean their house, or bad at time management. Like, how many times you been like Sunday morning, you parked under their apartment, and you just call them. They're kind of, oh, sorry, I went to bed before today. I don't think I can go to church today. Like, how many of them are like that? Yeah, maybe. You know that. And the preferred graphic reflection towards reflection. Like I find like post in 80s or 70s, a lot of them can sit there to read the Bible, can think, oh, it's good. But for that generation, they watch iPhone, you know, TV. It's very hard for them to focus on the words. Some of them just used to get typing. They don't even know how to write some words. Yeah. Sometimes I will forget how to write words because I type too long. Yeah. And they have shorter attention span. That's also because of this technology time, you know, how many of them pull their phone. Okay. And I will tell you what do they believe, like faith, according to faith or religion. And some of them are atheist, but less of them are atheist according to comparing to post 90s or 70s. And or some of them are agnostics, like they're not sure. And theism, but they are not necessarily Christian. And they like mysteries, mystic things. They get all kinds of into like fortune telling or horoscope, this kind of stuff. They're just like Harry Potter, magic stuff, or you know, all the kind of Hollywood. They can be very interesting, this kind of thing. And what do they really need? At least something I think they need, not they want, they need. But in kind of in some order, but not very strict order. But they need to be loved, like everybody. They need understanding in space. That's post the 90s. They counseling, they have a lot of, you know, they want people to listen to them. And morality, but that's lower comparing to post 70s and 80s. And faith and truth. Like I put the last three, like if you go back to post 70s and 80s, that might come to first. But for the post 90s, you have to start from loving, understanding, a lot of caring, and then go to the truth. Yeah. Okay. How to reach out to them? That's pretty, like last time, how to evangelize to them. I just threw out something for you to brainstorm, maybe not include everything. So hang out with them and activities, host families, and unconditional in God's word. When I talk about God's word, I'm not mean like always every time you call the Bible. It's good to always tell them the truth. You have the Bible verse in your heart, but you can say it in another way. Because when you say, oh, it's from the Bible or Romans 4, you know, 3 says that, they will be very like kind of against it, but you speak the truth to them, they will be more accepted. Yeah. And music and worship, a lot of, I used to be a campus minister in Hong Kong too, and some of the guys, they don't like Bible study, they don't like Sunday worship, like the sermon, but they like to play bass and guitar, they just come and join, and later they become Christian. So I think it's music's power is huge, the worship power is huge. And put yourself into their shoes, like that's understanding part. And you maybe do things in more way that will help them to more appreciate the God's design and how God made them. And the media, of course, Facebook, Twitter, WeChat, Line, all kinds of things you can use to communicate with them. Yeah. Okay. Today's focus is actually how to disciple them. So I'm just suppose you already know someone a Christians, and or you will meet someone a Christians in the future. I believe God is willing to do that through you. But before I talk about how to disciple them, I want to talk about us first. You know, as we have to make disciples, we have to be a discipler. I think very important is being sincere and their friends first. And be a good example. And this kind of example is the inner life, your character, and through actions. I always find that devotional time helped me a lot, as I was in a workshop of Phil talking about how to strengthen your soul. It's always never get who we are before the Lord, and the real God can really download a lot of wisdom and strategy through our secret places with Him. And follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have your own plan, but God might interrupt you and change your plan. Yeah. Always be open to it. And the fourth one, I think it's very important, is don't be afraid to make mistakes. I think I was kind of like scared when I make mistakes when I just came to Columbus. I would tell you a story, then kind of included the other points, but I learned from that, because I think when I just came here, I'm still in a phase of maybe should build relationship with some of them. And one day I went to a girl, and she has two other girls over, and we had dinner together. And when we ate together, that's when I started to talk. And we just met, we kind of met in the fellowship before. So I didn't find out, I didn't discover like in private when they were friends together, the way they speak, for me, it sounds very rude. It's like a lot of dirty words. They're good girls, they love Christ, but this is just the way they act. They think like tease you is loving you, you know? And I grew up not in this kind of mentality. Like, I kind of like sensitive girl when I grow up, like very quiet, obedient. So I was like kind of offended when I was there. And when I went back, all the Bible verses about what's wrong with that came into my mind. And I did the wrong thing, because I sent a message. I'm like, I think it's wrong for you to say as a Christian, you know, this is so rude. Like God says, like keep your mouth and don't let the dirty words come out. And there's one older, two other younger. So the two other younger one apologized immediately. And the other one, because we have a WeChat group, and she quit the group. And I realized, bummer, I think I must be did it too directly or too quick. And so I tried to make sure with, are you okay? I'm sorry, maybe I stayed too direct, but you know, it's for your good. She's like, I don't think you have the authority. And like, but I didn't think that way, because I think I'm the leader, you know, of the group, and I say something for your benefit. But later I'm like, she's right. I'm not her friend yet, you know. So how can I say that? And I feel like they're kind of in a place very happy. They didn't realize anything, and I was the one very offended. And of course later, I think it's God's word and mercy, and also they see who I really am. Like, I think I'm a sincere person, although I'm not, but they see who I am, and they love the Lord, I love the Lord, so we become more familiar with each other, and now we're good friends. But when I look back, I think it's better to follow the order, unless God prompts you to say something. And that's my mistake, but I overcome it. And I think God works through it for good, because actually I never heard them say that kind of things again. But it's kind of like, you know, when that happened at that time, you're like, it's kind of scared, yeah. But don't be afraid to make mistakes, but surely follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if, even if you didn't do something right at that time, if your heart is right, God can fix it. But can and you can always learn from your mistakes. So when I talk about making discipleships, I want to go through about how Jesus makes discipleships. It's always good to look at Jesus' examples. So I think he's a good teacher, definitely, teach about the gospel. And he do a lot of action things. Because I want to focus more on actions this time, because I think we do a lot of, like, go to church, listening to sermon, and come to Bible study, studying words, and or because you know the Bible, it's very easy for you to tell them a lot of things they don't know. But I found actually actions are very, very important. Like, Jesus, he chose his disciples in actions. Like, he begins his ministry. He was doing his ministry, and then preached the words of God, and then he chose his first disciples. This is what Bible told. I don't have time to read it, so yeah, you know the story. And Jesus' teachings in actions, always like when he moves to do his ministry, and he's teaching about. In the story of Jesus comes a storm, you can see like he taught the disciples about faith. So when we experience the life with the students, always like spend time with them, there are always can be challenges and lessons we can teach them. So just pay attention to it and be an example. So when it comes to disciple post-90s, I have a story of me and Ayin. So this is not a student in Columbus, Ohio now. This is someone actually I accidentally disciple. Too many people, I don't have that one. But the girl who hold the flower at the back is Ayin. And this is someone, even before I was, I am a missionary, like God, my life, I led her to Christ. And we hang out, we are friends. Like I like talking, she likes listening, and she likes cook. I like eating. You know, she's married, and later she had a baby. I'm still single, but we have a lot of common topics. And I never had a plan for her. I never had an agenda that I have to go through this book with Ayen, or I have to read this kind of chapter with her. I don't even have the idea of discipleship at my mind at that time. We're just friends. And I just like hang out with her. And she likes hanging out with me. And when she has problem, we will talk. And when I have problem, we talk. And we pray together and seek the Lord together. And she grows. Like, even she's not someone who likes reading the Bible or like reading books. I like reading. And she's a picture of people. And she grows, like later she finds out God's calling for her is not in Hong Kong, so she moves back to China, and she opened a bakery called Mana Bakery, and she likes making bakery, and she did the decoration herself, and she got the vision from God himself, and she's seeking God in her family, how to honor the Lord, even like her husband is like running not that fast after the Lord, but she's like perseverance, do a lot of things. So this Ayen story is kind of like inspired even myself a lot, because I never had an agenda for her. I'm not saying when we do discipleships, we should not have agenda. It's more like because we have the relationship and we spend a lot of time together. Like she knows who I am and how, like, how I would pray to God, or I would tell her the truth of the Bible, but because I know it. So I think it's God already designed that for me to see actual discipleship. It's just like what Jesus did. Like, you live with them, you eat with them, you walk with them, and you do with them. And she already let her friends to Christ. So Okay. I have noticed when Jesus makes disciples, he has different, always have different focuses. So he sometimes to big groups, big crowds of people, and to disciples like who follow him, and also to 12 disciples, and to the inner core of disciples, and also one-on-one discipleship. So I will go through it and also maybe give you some examples of how that might be applied to your ministry or IFI's ministry. To big crowds, that's like Sermon on the Mountain. So he's preaching to everybody, you know, this believers and non-believers. And so I think sometimes IFI Friday night Bible study, or you can start your own Bible study, include believers and non-believers, and you can talk about God's story or the movie or anything else. And a church gathering, you know, non-believers can come too. They can worship the Lord with you together. And some special gathering, Christmas, Easter is good for to include all people to come. And especially like urban conferences, this. And this is one conference I took some of the students went to, and actually it's focused really on worship. And I find out like the worship is very important, because I think like if I would do a lot of Bible study, that's really good. But as I say, post the 90s, their generation, they're like media generation, music generation, movie generation. So a lot of times, if you really introduce them about worship, some of them, the heart would be softened. Like my roommate became a Christian just because of worship at my church. Like she got touched. Nobody touched her. Nobody. Of course, people introduced Jesus to her, but she's like, she didn't believe that God exists. But then when she touched by the music, she cried. She's like, why am I crying? You know, I don't understand it. Then she seeks more and she became a Christian. And the ministry to reach out, if we do some reach out, like Jesus feeding 5,000 people, and I think that's also the in action, like when he's doing that, he's also discipling his disciples to give them the faith to step out, to really believe God can do some miracles. So yeah, if we can take some students to do some reach out. I haven't done much about it yet, but I plan to do that. But I think even non-believers still would like to come to Joy, you know, to see the, some shelters or orphanage to serve. They would like to be volunteers. And it's good opportunity to disciple students to lead or to bring in to minister. And to disciples, in what Jesus did with, right, so, Jesus sends out the 72 to ask them to preach the gospel, and he gave them instructions. And I think it's all, it's important for us when we send out some of them, prepare them and give them instructions. And so that's all believers, right? People follow Jesus. I think IFI small groups, like not Friday night Bible study, non-believer, but if you can gather a group of believers together, you can do that. And church fellowship, that's a good dynamic to involve the believers to disciple them. And some special gatherings. I'm leading a Chinese fellowship now, and every other Sunday afternoon together, Chinese students together to train them to read the Bible in Chinese, because a lot of them are going to English churches. So if you Maybe you cannot do that in Chinese, but you can still have some burdens or start a group focusing on something, or maybe a women's group or men's group or some other topics focusing on that would be great too. And a lot of like believers of IFAs now, they're trying to preach the gospel and the worship thing. And also we help with welcome event, a lot of things. Like you can always involve the believers in the ministry to help out, they will grow too. And to 12 disciples, when Jesus discipled them, and find out they the parable of the sower. Like Jesus said, the parables to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. It sounds like Jesus has done something to hide something, secrets of the kingdom to some believers, but to open to some believers. But I think it's because people's heart are open so they can really understand God. And he told his 12 disciples about his death and resurrection. So Jesus has some secrets. It's only saved for some of his disciples. So I would give the definition of 12 disciples as smaller group of people. They're really like focused or willing to do more and learn more. And I think among them it's very important to notice the different personalities and talents. How can you group people together? And also build up interpersonal relationships to not only you them, but help them to build interpersonal relationships, and find the faithful, available, and teachable ones, and share with them what you have heard from the God. Like you won't tell everybody about it, but you will tell a smaller group of people. Maybe they can grow, pursue that dream with you together, or you guys can pray together, and then train them to lead, and allow them to make mistakes. It's not easy to. I think as a leader, I find it's hard to when I make mistakes, and it can be hard when they make mistakes. It's all the kind of like learning process. And above all, actually, is pray. Like, how do you know this group of people from all believers? How do you know this group of people should be together? I think it's pray. Yeah. And also, even you pray and you think maybe God can change it. Like, God can take some people away and give you someone you never thought of. Because I find like it's very easy for us to judge by appearance, by outlook, but God look at into people's heart. And a lot of times we don't really know what's hard, but God knows. To the inner core of discipleships, the story is transfiguration. Like when Jesus went on the mountain, he only took Peter, James, and John. That's a picture. I think the inner core of disciples maybe are already the leaders in your group or potential leaders in your group. Like they have strong commitment, they have more knowledge, more, and they have passion for people. Sometimes it's easier to identify, sometimes it's not that easy. So praise always goes first to help you to know God's heart, who would you like me to train the leaders, and entrust them some special tasks, and go deeper with them. Like sometimes you might not always like have a book with them to go on, like go through some courses, but can always get together to talk and to pray. And I find like a lot of this kind of discipleship happen very spontaneous, as at least for me, like not always plan about it, but just open to the Lord, let him lead it. And the last one is one-on-one discipleship. The example is Peter, like Peter, how Jesus caught Peter when he was fishing, and that's walking in the water. And like this is after Peter denied Jesus three times, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to Peter and approached him again to ask him to be a shepherd of his sheep. So, so for one-on-one discipleship, I think it's very important to identify the special calling God has on this person. We understand that God has some tailor-made discipleship plan for them. So I'm doing one-on-one discipleship mainly with two girls. One is Ivy and one is Cherish. Actually, Ivy became a Christian earlier than Cherish. Cherish became Christian earlier than Ivy. But Ivy's personality is more like quiet. She thinks a lot. Like she is very committed. Like if she commits, it's hard for her to commit something. But if she commits on something, she will do it. Like Cherish is not a personality. She's like everywhere. She's like, she likes quiet, very bubbly, and she can jump from one topic to another topic. Like, every time like I pray with her, maybe I think, oh, it's late, supposed to finish. And after prayer, she will suddenly talk about her cousin, like out of nowhere. And then we keep talking for 1 hour. So it's very hard for her to get to focus. The last semester, actually, I started with two of them together with Master Life One. And I was thinking about a long time. She's like, okay, I think I can do it. And Cherish like, sure, let's do it. And after the first one, actually she kept with several one. So Ivy's like, oh, I didn't feel much of God. You know, the Bible reading, a lot of things. Cherish like, oh, I feel sleep when I did that. I just cannot read the Bible. It doesn't make sense to me. So, and Ivy thinks, and Cherish quit immediately. I was kind of like disappointed, and she's, you know, she kind of like seeking something else, start something new. And of course I keep praying for them, and I see Ivy growing in her knowledge. Like she's more like the feeling come later person. Like she did something, and then I see God really do some faithful work in her life. She grows a lot, and she starts to feel more about God. Through knowledge, she starts to feel more gaga. And I'm very encouraged by her growth. But Cherish is very funny. At the beginning of the semester, I tried to talk to her again. I think, do you think you want to study Master Life One to be again? She's like, sure. But then, very quickly, she's like, let me think about it. Let me look at my schedule. I'm not sure about my schedule. I shouldn't say yes so fast, and then I cannot do it, I quit. So I think she grows. And then later, I asked her again, because she said she would come, but she didn't come. She's like, oh, I think I'm too busy. I don't have time to talk about this week, maybe next week. So I kind of want to push, but I think I just leave it to the Lord. You know, it's not that I want her to do that, or she doesn't have the commitment. Then even she joined, she might quit again. So I didn't really think, I prayed about it, but then I didn't really think about it. But on Sunday, I saw her in the Chinese fellowship. And she's like, Abby, because she went out for a retreat with her church. And she's like, I really, like on Saturday night, I really feel like God pushed me. I really want to do that with you now. I'm like, are you sure? She's like, sure, I'm very sure this time. So I'm like, tell me, how do you feel like God tells you? She's just like, I just feel like a burning in my heart. I really want to know more. And the next day she came and she brought the book. And so we sit together to talk, although maybe one-fifth of the time only talk about the plan. The other time she's talking about her own stories a lot. So I was just listening. But the exciting thing is, like, I find out the plan should be different because Ivy never, you don't need to discipline her so much because she's so disciplined, and she needs more encouragement to be more like confident. But Cherish is like so bubbling, and you have to let her like control, like not control, like focused. So I teach her to how to do time management, and she's like, oh, that's really makes sense. That's really good. So the next day she asked me, that's about 11:30. So she usually went to bed, goes to bed very late. So she's like, I try to go to bed early today so I can do my devotion in the morning. So 11:30 she texts me, I just finished my devotional. I'm like, oh, great. She's like, I spent 1.5 hours to do that, to sleep it. I'm like, oh, that's great. Because usually you do one session that's only 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, that's great. Tell me what you get from it. She's like, I just read it like, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about yourself. It's really encouraging. So you just see how like two kinds of person are different. Sometimes it's not according to your plan. Like God, if God wants it to happen, it will happen. A lot of you have to be flexible and to see what God really wants you to bring into the life. Some people may run very faster. Some people is slower, but it has times to for them to grow. They should go fast. Okay. I think it's a very important thing is teaching them how to build a relationship with God themselves. So if you only want to one thing take away from today, I think it's this. It's very important. The other thing, but it's very important because think about if they go back to China, they go to a non-Christian family and their parents persuade them out of faith, and they haven't found a Christian. Can I do? So if they have the personal relationship with the Lord, like that's easier. So I think that's the most important thing if we really want to disciple them and see them still keep in faith wherever they go. And I have two materials I'm using. The one is the Great Commission courses. It's in Chinese, it's online, so I cannot give it to you. But you can have some ideas about it because this is more like a theological course, like systematic theology, like theology, like who is God, who is Jesus, the person of Jesus, the what does the cross mean? Like, of course, from the beginning, it's God's creation and how we fall as sinners, all this kind of like second coming of Jesus, new heaven and earth. So all this kind of things. I think must have a lot of related materials in the U.S. So I think it's very important for them to have some theological framework in their mind. Yeah. And another one I'm using now is a lot of IFI people are using is Mass Life. This is book one. And I find book one is help the students to build a relationship with Jesus, to have a daily devotional time with Jesus. And the others about like personality, your personality, how to commit your will, how to find God's will in your life, and then how to do missions, a lot of other spiritual gifts in this. So if you are interested, maybe you can find it online. And it's like each book is 6 weeks courses. And I talk about the five areas, like from the big crowd to one-on-one. And I was thinking, what is the order of that? And like, which should go first, which should go after that? So I find actually there's no order. That's my conclusion. Maybe you can find this. Yeah, but it seems that Jesus picked people spontaneous first. You know, he met someone, he talked with them, oh, go come with me, then come. And in the book of Mark, yeah, you know the story, so I won't read it. But actually, because he knows people's heart. You know, like for the story of Nathanael, like how he saw his heart before they really met. So that also reminds us, because we're not Jesus, sometimes we don't know people's heart. It's always important for us to pray. Like, whom shall I pick? Like, show me, Lord. And I find he's always let people know the cost of following them. As in the book of Matthew, he talks about, I don't have, you know, leave, like, you have to, if you have, you want to follow me, you have to bear your cross and follow me. And very importantly, he chose 12, I should put 12 apostles, because there's one is not apostle, but you know what I mean. He chose 12 disciples, core disciples, and most of them become apostles. And that's actually after prayer. Like, even the bad guy is for some purpose. I won't go into details to talk about it. And at last, he has some great special calling on some of them. Like Peter, he said, you are the rock, I will build a church on the rock. And Paul, of course, he met Paul later and said, his calling is for the Gentiles. So that's, we can pray to God, ask him to show us what he has from some specific people in our, like people we disciple. That's the same. Let me skip this one. And I want to talk about, I think it's very important to lead the students to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go to details. I know there are a lot of different ideas about it and the arguments in the churches through centuries, so I won't go to any details. But I just encourage you to pursue God more about this. It's very, very important, of course, for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit first and lead the students to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Paul's story. This is her name, Mary, and she's the one who came to Christ through worship, and she's my roommate now. And we went to a conference at the beginning of last semester. And I don't even like the worship. I don't know how she like it. You know, God can work through it. Like, I mean, it's just so loud. But she enjoys waiting me to go, because I'm like, I went. She's like, let's go. So I went with her because she doesn't have a car. And she had a significant encounter with the Lord. She just enjoyed herself a lot. And later I found that she's different. I don't know what happened, like, through that encounter, because I'm not her, but she's so different. She liked to, because she was assigned to be a volunteer of the orientation of school. So she had opportunity to meet a lot of people. And she used to be someone, she kind of called herself antisocial, because sometimes before I don't talk to people, like, give me space. I need this time just by myself. But she became very passionate and, like, active in that orientation. She keeps meeting inviting people to her to the Bible study, and she had burden to pray for people. And something kind of surprised me, because I think nobody taught her, that only God told her, and I think that's the Holy Spirit. So I do see people are very different. You always want to adapt them to be filled with oil. So it works when it's half, but it's different when it's full. So I just encourage you to pursue more, including yourself, and lead people more into be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, a lot of, because I'm Chinese, You're American, so I want to show you something about the culture differences. So I will explain some of them. So the blue is Western and red is Eastern. So opinion, you know, you guys are very direct. We're like, and when you're angry, you show you're angry, but be careful when someone smells to you. So contact, like, you're more like small group where everywhere. The definition of beauty, no, we like to be white. Okay. Perception, okay, this is funny. And elderly in day-to-day life, okay, we are grandparents. I just want to take care of grandchildren, not dogs. Handling problems, you go straight up, more like this way. And in the restaurant, okay, you understand it. And me, this is me, like everybody knows. And mood and weather, so more affected by, not really, the party, like, and oh, this is the same one. How come? Punctuality, is that true? Okay, this is, if you go to Asia, you will experience that one. Where should I stand? Sharing time. Stomach ache. And Sunday on the road. Some of the students said, why is there still people here? The boss? Well, this is very, very funny. Some students have pressure when at work, because they have different ideas about the relationship with their boss. And 3 meals a day, like half food. Transportation. Traveling. Have you experienced when you're eating with Chinese students, they always take care out of camera to take picture of the food first. Way of life, we are more community like oriented, watch tendency. So Western food are very popular. Pizza Hut is very popular and very expensive. It's like kind of very high level restaurants in China. Okay. Okay. And some other resources, I won't go through it. I think you can find a, oh, okay. This is The Sound of a Wonder. That's for non-believers. Very good. And this the book about the God in ancient China. So it's very, can be very good for students to know this is not only the God of a Western culture. This God has connection with Chinese people too. And I've shown Karen and her students, Daisy, a video about. Some people don't agree, but I think it's still a good tool, like the God, God in the Bible and Chinese character. There's some connections with it. So she loves history. She became a believer. You can find it. And Hudson Taylor in China, we know this missionary, but he was very brave. He went to his British and went to China to preach the gospel himself. And a lot of times, if you introduce some of the Chinese students, the missionaries, and tell them what they have really done in China, they would be surprised because they don't know the history. That the good school, universities, hospitals, after built missionary, they don't know it. Of course, it's for discipling them. It's very good too. Like they will start have the heart of mission. Of course, outside of China, you can use a lot of WeChat. Good TV is a good one. It's from Taiwan, but a lot of, you know, Chinese culture, we call them Chinese. I won't go to that area, but a lot of they feel connected. And YouTube, a lot of, there are some testimonies I listed. And But if you go back to China, some of them you cannot get. Like YouTube, you cannot get. GoTV, you can. Good TV, you cannot get. But there's some in China. There's some a lot of websites. Actually, they have a lot of resources. I think I had. Did I list that in the panel? Yeah, I list on the panel. Okay, good. Okay, my time almost. Now I want to give Li Teng an opportunity to give a testimony, and I also want to honor him here. His wife is not here, but they are actually the beginner of the Chinese fellowship. And I just want to tell you the story, how they actually start this fellowship. The Chinese fellowship, the burden is for the Chinese believers to get together, to read the Bible in Chinese together, and to know how to pray in Chinese in case they want to go back to China or they want to minister to Chinese people. And I want you to hear his story about how they start from zero to a group of people, believers, love God and pursuing God together.
Thank you, Abby. That is my wife, Ding Ding. Some of you met her already. She registered for today's event, but she's not able to come because of schoolwork and, you know, boss stuff, advisor stuff, you understand, as a PhD student. Again, my name is Li Tong. I'm from China. So I'll take a few minutes to share with you how like God through us built the IFI Chinese Fellowship. But before getting to that, I have a question for you. Abby introduced lots of numbers and figures at the beginning of this presentation. Which one do you feel is the saddest? Which one made you? Yes. I guess most of you will give that number. Yes, as you all you have seen, 75 believers in the United States fed away. They left their faith after they went back to China, and that was what made me sad as well. So the IFI Chinese Fellowship was established back in 2011, 5 years ago, by the night Bible discussion group for years. Then, thank God, there were fruits. There were Chinese people coming to Christ in every individual group. But here was a problem. Each individual group had their new Chinese believers, and then what should next? Are they keep going? Are they supposed to, to keep going to their Friday night group and hang out with other believers? Yes, I think that is definitely necessary. But what if they are not well fed in terms of spirit? What if they can't get deeper? What if our elementary, our Bible discussion 101, 102 cannot fit their needs of Bible discussion 101? Okay, their need was going higher, but IFI was not able to accommodate their need. And some of them end up going to other churches and to join other fellowships. Some of them went to the Solutions. But there were still some students who really liked the atmosphere, the whole atmosphere of IFI and the whole community of IFI. So they stayed. So Pastor Rich wanted to solve this problem, and he had a vision. That is to gather all those new believers from each individual together and form a fellowship just for believers. Because I was older back then, and I came to States as a believer. So Pastor Rich and I had some conversations, and then we decided to start this fellowship. So it started with a very little group of four. and we started meeting. How many of you know that the old IFI office in Chittenden Avenue? And we met in the basement of the IFI old office for a while. So in Pastor Rich's mind, you know, was to just meet together and to have some fun time together. You don't, like he said, you guys don't even need to read Bible every time. Just hang out, just talk, just share with each other, just sing songs with each other, and just have snacks with each other. And that was what we did. So we started with a group who we didn't really know each other very well, to be honest. So it was a little awkward at the very beginning. So, but we thank God we started to get, you know, acquainted quickly with each other. Then the roses, and we have walk, we sing songs together. So the whole thing of the Chinese fellowship is to in a Chinese way. So the 75% thing, I would believe, at least a huge part of it is due to reverse cultural shock. Okay, students became believers here, stand, and English worship song. Congregation is more active and, you know, it's more lively belief. But they will associate their Christian belief, all those forms in the United States. And when they go back to China, suddenly the whole environment is not as free. And the Chinese church is usually more disciplined. Okay. And the Chinese Bible, the Chinese Union version was translated 100 years ago, and it's not as updated. And many students said that they had problems reading it. So all those kind of problems, if we don't handle them in the United States, then they will have problems after they go back to China. So that was our key point. So as a very core group, even though we only had like four or sometimes five students, we were trying very hard to do it in a Chinese way. So we sing Chinese songs because I knew Chinese songs better. So I introduced Chinese songs to our group like every week. So we sang those songs together. And many times we talk about the Chinese church and the whole Christian, you know, the Christian community in China, the history of missionaries and the history of Chinese Christians, like back in history, from the Qing Dynasty and in Republican China, and even during the, say, Cultural Revolution back 200 years. So we talk about lots of things. So our group was able to understand the very complex cultural background of Chinese Christians and the Chinese church. So, and we also prayed in Chinese. They were very comfortable praying in English and reading English Bible, but we were in comfort zone, and it worked very well. And it didn't take too long for us to do it like solely in Chinese. Thank God for that. And then little by little grew, and we had more and more students joining us. So the number rose from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10. And then I got married a year later, and Ding Ding came to States and joined this ministry. So we started to have this meeting at home. And that's really, really awesome, because in the home environment, you really feel like you're a family. So we met every other week in our place. So we cooked for them, and they apparently liked our food. So we thought it's really, you know. I still remember two winters ago, the heating system in our house was out of order. So it was really cold. You still remember two years ago, right? In January. So the temperature was really, really low. But we were still meeting. We have another heating system which is electric, but you know it's not an electric heating system for the whole house, but only for our study room. So like little study room, but we feel so close to each other, and so warm in that room, and not only the temperature, not only temperature-wise, but spiritual-wise. So I still remember that Sunday afternoon. That feels like, yes, we're a family. And then, then later, Abby came and we gave Abby the leadership because we will be leaving. But Abby as a full-time IFI staff will be staying for a longer time. So not leader. Now we have, how many students do we have, do you think? So in our WeChat group, we have over 30. And people who come often will be more than 10, like less than 20. So we have had a very stable community. So let's go back to our original plan. Our original plan was to have our students to have with the Chinese way and the Chinese tradition of practicing our faith. We got that, thanks to the Lord. But something else that we didn't expect at all also happened. So as we were meeting, the Chinese fellowship like minister to each other and we encourage each other. And then all of us started serving the Friday night Bible discussion group in one way or another. Some of us started serving the worship team. Some started serving the sound system. Some as Bible discussion leaders or co-leaders. So think about that. On Sunday, we gather as a group and we encourage each other and we grow together. On Friday night, when we are having our non-believer friends, we scattered into different groups. And we multiply over there. We give testimonies over there. We make friends over there. And then in that way, we are using what we learned from the, you know, believers fellowship to benefit others, especially those non-believers. So it's like a good thing. We got nurtured in our group, and we go to nurture others in a Friday night group. And then in that way, we got further nurtured. We didn't think about this when Pastor Rich and I was planning for the Chinese fellowship, but God gave that to us. So it's definitely more than what we expected. So today our topic is how to young Christian students. So what you should do, think about it, what you should do. Most of you are not Chinese. What can you do? What I can suggest is to encourage them. I'm sure most of you will be very willing to do one-on-one discipleship with your Chinese students. And by God's grace, many of you will see a harvest. Many of you will see your Chinese friends coming to Christ. And what comes next? That's what I'm going to suggest. If you have some Chinese new believers and maybe another group that you know has some others, why not encourage them to form a believers fellowship? Okay. Try to get them together, communicate with each other, communicate with other groups, and help them find a place, find a time, set a form for them, encourage them to be there, and let it start. And let them encourage each other and let them grow in a relationship with our new believers. There will be mistakes. We had mistakes as Abby mentioned, but the reward is unfamiliar with the Chinese culture, but you can encourage your students to discover that. Trust me, that will be very, very beneficial for students. Okay. So I'm sure what happened in IFI Chinese fellowship will happen in your small group as well. If you see the good, if you see the timing is there, let's go for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I have the words to end this. Thank you for sharing. We don't have time to do Q&A, but I have my information. I have my like contact information in the handout sheet. So feel free to contact me. Whether you have any problems about like questions about Chinese culture, or some difficulties when you communicate with Chinese students, or meet and we can talk about it, like professional Chinese culture. Maybe I can tell you more about it. Or if you really want, if you like the students to connect with Chinese fellowship, or some people, they don't have to come, but I can connect with them with some of students. Maybe they're OSU, the same major, and they can connect with each other. And just feel free to. Today. God bless you.